Well, friends, I've often heard ministers asking, how would Jesus preach to our generation today? Well, the fact is that mankind in first century Palestine was identical to mankind in 21st century Western society. Technologically, of course, there was a vast difference, but basically, as there is no change in the nature of mankind, society is the same in every generation and needs the same message. For it is mankind and not circumstances like COVID or the economy or situations or conditions that determine the moral and spiritual state of a society. It is man's handling of situations and circumstances that determine a particular generation. Man by nature is greedy, self-centered, jealous, proud, and revengeful in every generation. Man's desires, ambitions, and aspirations were the same in Jesus' day as today. Every society has its problems to solve, its ills to be healed, its evils to be removed. But the way, the methods, the beliefs, the philosophy and the principles of how that society deals with these problems determine the moral and spiritual type of society it is. The truth is, of course, that we have lost our identity as human beings made in the image of God, and we've lost our purpose in life. Jesus, one day, on a walk about with his disciples, asked them, to what shall I compare this generation? Now that's in Matthew chapter 11. You should read that chapter. Matthew 11. His answer was to quote a popular proverb of the time about children in the marketplace, saying, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. And Jesus said, John the Baptist didn't spend his time eating and drinking, and yet you say he's possessed by a devil. And the Son of Man, on the other hand, he came feasting and drinking. And you say he's a glutton, he's a drunkard. Jesus was meaning that his generation had completely misunderstood God's word to them. No matter whether it was preached by a hardline Baptist or a gentle Jesus' message, they got it completely wrong. Their culture had so conditioned their thinking that their values and their perception of truth were confused. Like our own generation, the things they rejoiced at and the things they disliked were upside down, they were reversed. They neither recognised what was good nor recognised what was evil accurately. What is basically wrong with humanity in Jesus' day and in our day is our ignorance of truth and reality and where it might be found. Our generation is really too interested in sport and entertainment. That's what occupies a lot of their time. But that is what many people are interested in. And we need to know, as a generation, what is really important to us and relevant to us. Now, the fact is that God knows what we need most. Jesus knew what his generation needs, and it's the same as what our generation needs. And that's why Jesus, they preached to his generations on the one great need for everyone. We need to repent of our sins. Why did Jesus go on in that chapter 11 to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done? What was it that made them speak about it? It's because they did not repent. Verse 20. And repenting was vital. He said on one occasion to his disciples, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Jesus expected them to repent, having done and said what he did and said in their cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum. And then Jesus added something really extraordinary, especially for the Jews. He said that if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, pagan people, they would have repented long ago. Verse 21. He goes on further and says that if he had done such wonders in Sodom, yes, Sodom, it would have not been destroyed. Think of what he had just said. Isn't that amazing? Gentile cities, including wicked Sodom, would have responded and repented at the preaching of Jesus. They had the wisdom, it would seem, but they didn't have the knowledge or the opportunity to repent at the preaching of Jesus. Does not that make you and I highly privileged people indeed, to be among those who are chosen to hear the gospel? Some people are not chosen even to hear it. Very solemn. Jesus' primary business here on earth was to die and to make atonement for our sins. And of course he did that. And he did that so that there would be a gospel for us to preach. That is why the Holy Spirit led Matthew to end this passage the way he did, with Jesus' invitation to the crowd who were listening. There was a crowd there, you see that from verse 7. He finished the address by saying, "Come unto me, all you who labour and are heavy laden." We live in a corrupt culture, as did Jesus, where politicians and corporations, business corporations, insurance companies steal from the vulnerable. There was tremendous injustices of all types and kinds in Jesus' day, as there is in our society today. But like every generation, people are seeking and finding none. They're seeking rest, seeking peace and not finding it. So often we hear about people looking forward to retirement so they can have rest. Well, Jesus told his generation about true rest, and not the ephemeral passing rest which is time limited. Jesus in Matthew 7 talks of a true rest for the soul. You can have rest for your body, but not for your soul. You can have rest in your soul and not in your body. But we need to remember that ultimately we will all have either never-ending rest or never-ending unrest in both body and soul. Jesus finished up that message by giving his audience a illustration involving a yoke. A yoke in our culture has connotations of tyranny and labour, struggle, graft and slavery. But it wasn't in Jesus' generation. A yoke in Jesus' day meant lightening our load. And there's a legend which says that above his father's carpenter shop was a sign stating, "Our yokes wear well. They ease the load and don't chaff." What Jesus was emphasizing in that illustration was that by taking his yoke, he is on the other side of the yoke, lightening our burden through this world. He's a partner with us in the struggle of life. He takes the hardship out of life and gives us hope. Of course, eternal rest and eternal salvation is ultimate. But Christ is a great blessing, both in this life as well as in the life that is to come. His own understanding of the time he spent here on earth in this sinful world was, "I came that they might have life, and have it abundantly. As Jesus would preach the very same message today as he did when he was here with us 2,000 years ago. Well, may God bless these thoughts to us.